fresh, acid smell of snow blowing in through the...
"And if I'm sorry for everything," he mumbled.
He was lost in a world of darkness, without a potato to his name. Candlesticks. They'd been made of gold, hundreds of years ago. There were only ever potatoes to eat, grubbed up from under the snow, but the candlesticks were of gold. And some old woman, she'd said, "It'll turn out right if you've got a potato."
"Was any god of some sort mentioned to you at any point?"
"No."
"Damn. I wish they didn't leave me to deal with this sort of thing," Death sighed. "You believe, but you don't believe in anything."
Mr. Tulip stood with his head bowed. More memories were trickling back now, like blood under a closed door, and the knob was rattling, and the lock had failed. Death nodded at him.
"At least you still have your potato, I see."
Mr. Tulip's hand flew to his neck. There was something wizened and hard there on the end of a string. It had a ghostly shimmer to it.
"I thought he got it,"
he said, his face alight with hope.
"Ah, well, you never know when a potato might turn up."
"So it's all going to be all right?"
"What do you think?"
Mr. Tulip swallowed. Lies did not survive long out here, and more recent memories were squeezing under the door now, bloody and vengeful.
"I think it's going to take more than a potato," he said. "Are you sorry for everything?"
More unused bits of Mr. Tulip's brain, which had shut down long ago, or had never even opened up, came into play.
"How will I know?" he said.
Death waved a hand through the air. Along the arc described by the bony fingers appeared a line of hourglasses.
"I understand you are a connoisseur, Mr. Tulip. In a small way, so am I."
Death selected one of the glasses and held it up. Images appeared around it, bright but insubstantial as shadow.
"What are they?" said Tulip.
"Lives, Mr. Tulip. Just lives. Not all masterpieces, obviously. Often rather naïf in their use of emotion and action. But nevertheless, full of interest and surprise, and each in their own way a work of some genius, and certainly very collectible."
Death picked up an hourglass as Mr. Tulip tried to back away.
"Yes, collectible. Because if I had to find a way to describe these lives, Mr. Tulip, that word would be shorter."
Death selected another hourglass.
"Ah, Nagar Velsky. You will not remember him, of course. He was simply a man who walked into his rather simple little hut at the wrong time. And you are a busy man, and cannot be expected to remember everyone. Note the mind, a brilliant mind, that might in other circumstances have changed the world. Doomed to be born into a time and place where life was nothing but a daily hopeless struggle. Nevertheless, in his tiny village, right up until the day he found you stealing his coat, he did his best to..."
Mr. Tulip raised a trembling hand.
"Is this the bit where my whole life passes in front of my eyes?" he said.
"No, that was the bit just now."
"Which bit?"
"The bit," said Death, "between your being born and your dying. No, this, Mr. Tulip, this is your whole life as it passed before other people's eyes."
By the time the golems arrived, it was all over. The fire had been fierce but short-lived. It had stopped because there wasn't anything left to burn. The crowd that always turns up to watch a fire then dispersed until the next one, reckoning that this one had not scored very highly, what with no one dying. The walls were still standing. Half the tin roof had fallen in. Sleet had begun to fall too, and now it hissed on the hot stone as William picked his way cautiously through the debris. The press was visible in the light of the few fires still smouldering. William heard it sizzling under the sleet.
"Repairable," he said to Good Mountain, who was following him.
"Not a chance. The frame, maybe, will salvage what we can,"